Welcome to Cougar Cast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. Cougar Cast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at @CougarCast.
Shirts, and I am with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. And Tosh, it's been a weird basketball season, but yeah. A good basketball season.
It reminds me of last season.
Yeah.
Except we're on the outside looking in at this point. Where last year we were scared, but we were always kind of on the fringe of other than on the inside of the bracketology.
Yeah, well, they had a couple more marquee wins. Being Texas was important last year.
And Stanford. Where this year, we only have
Stanford, but that is at home.
Yeah.
Those games in Maui that I was at, they burn even more now.
Well,
so.
And the Utah game, we had a chance.
By the way, BYU Hawaii took it to Chaminade. We own Chaminade this year. BYU Idaho would probably get them. I think it's weird season because Tyler Hawes is now the number two scorer in the history of the school. Probably will be number one. Obviously Kyle Collinsworth with the 5 triple doubles. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah.
Two things. One, amazing.
Yep.
And two, had to have him do it. Why is he getting triple-doubles? Because we need him to get triple-doubles. I think it speaks largely to the fact that he has to rebound for this team to be successful.
What I love about Kyle is that he gets triple-doubles and makes it look easy. Like, when you're at the game, a lot of times you walk out and you're in the car driving home before you realize he had a triple-double.
Yeah.
Like, he just does it within the offense, and he's just dang good.
He's a very good player who does a lot for this team. And I think that it's really difficult to kind of measure what all that means. You know, what is the true value of a triple-double? I don't know, right? I mean, I heard people debating, would you rather have a guy get a triple-double or have a player go out and score 35 points for you?
I'd rather have 35.
I think so, too. I mean,
it depends on
except for they're more rare. Yeah, that's true. But it's more rare to get a triple double, though.
Yep.
So I don't know what it all means. I don't like, it's really cool, but I don't know what the value of a triple double is.
It's really hard in like college. The 10 assists in a college game is tough.
It is really tough. That also speaks a lot to the shooting talent of this year's team. You know, they've been lighting up from three. They've been shooting really
good. That's the trick, because almost every three in the game of basketball is assisted.
Right.
Like, there's not many threes that are shot off the dribble. So if you have good three-point shooters, it really helps assist numbers.
And we know that Dave Rose doesn't like it when people just dribble and shoot.
Yeah, except Jimmer.
Except for Jimmer. But, like, he really prefers when it's a catch-and-shoot scenario on that. And so I think it's an interesting thing. I don't know. Again, it's really impressive. I'm glad he's the record holder and all that.
And I think he's going to have a few more this year.
Yeah, there's only a few more games.
But I think he has. Okay, so a few more.
I think he's got one more. Okay. Maybe one.
So my question is, he, when all is said and done, his career is over, is he going to go down as one of the top 10 BYU basketball players of all time?
I don't know how to answer this. Do you want to do just Marriott Center era, or do you want to do...
just Marriott Center era.
Okay. So, like, from, like, I think they opened in 71. Yes, I think he'd probably end up being in the top 10.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm a firm yes, but I'm not the historian. You have a lot more names.
Here's a couple things to think about, right? Tyler Hawes is a top 10 guy, probably all time. not just Marriott Center area, but probably
He's going to be the number one leading
scorer. Except for he's got this weird thing where of everybody that is in the top, I think, 25 scorers in the history of the school, the only one that's never going to win a conference championship is Tyler Hawes.
Well, and that leads me to my bigger question. The Kyle Collinsworth thing made me think of this. How crazy is it that we this year have two top 10 BYU players of all time and we're not going to make the tournament?
It's pretty crazy. It speaks to the importance of balance. And before the season, in our season preview, we talked about the problem of balance with this team. I said, who's going to score from the paint? And they never, you know, seem to score all that much from the paint.
Yeah.
When they score from the paint, it's in transition. They never, you know, not never. Sometimes Kyle will drive it to the paint and score.
Or Anson.
But it's usually off a drive. Like, it's never because somebody caught a pass in the paint and scores.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what to make of this group.
It's just been strange. I really feel like this year's team has some awesome players.
Another problem that this team has ran into is there's been a couple things. One, they had really creative, really good sets that allowed them to get a lot of good looks from three. They had this weak side. So the dribbler would actually dribble to the right or the left. On the weak side of the court, there'd be a screen at the top of the arc. And then the guy coming off the screen at the top of the arc, the ball would be looped over the top of the screen. The guy would catch and shoot. You've seen it.
Yeah.
That has been taken away. Like, people know that that's coming. They had another couple sets where they would figure out ways to get open corner threes. Those sets have been taken away. And I think what happened is they devised five or six new looks that nobody else was going to be doing, and they cranked them out. And then what's happened is that by this point, there's enough film on it, and people are smart enough to know when it's coming. And when that's happened, that's been a problem. Problem two, Stacey Davis is a really good player for Pepperdine.
Yeah.
And I don't care what everyone's saying. It's unacceptable that we'd ever lose to Pepperdine or whatever. The whole thing I say is it's about matchups, you know.
They're a bad matchup.
And boxing styles make fights.
Yeah.
Right? And there's just different people have different kryptonite for whatever. And Pepperdine has ours, and it's Stacey Davis. And I don't know what to make of all that other than you got to play 40 minutes of basketball. And then beyond that, when they've got one guy who can kill you like that, then you've got to figure out ways to take away what he can do. But there isn't a way to take away what he can do because Andrus, Worthington, Kafusi, Sharp, whoever else you want to roll out there, Nixon, none of them are stopping this guy.
Yeah.
We don't have an answer for that guy. No, there's zero answers to him.
I think our answer is on the bench with a medical red shirt this year, which was Ates. That's the guy. That's the guy that would have matched up well with those type of players.
Potentially, so, yeah. I mean, right? I mean,
we're living off hype there.
Potentially, yeah. but you do like your chances with like a 6'6"
with shoulders 200, like Carl
Malone. Yeah, 235 pounds. Nah, I don't think he's that big.
No,
235. but I think he is like 210.
He's big.
And the point is he's really, yeah, he would have helped. He would have helped this year. And then, of course, Nate Austin, you know, he's been out with hamstring problems. They say that he's available for a medical hardship waiver and maybe might be back again next year.
I think that's their plan. I think they would have pushed him back if we would have won some more games. But now they're thinking, well, we might as well rest him and let's bring him back.
You excited for another year at Nate Austin?
So what this year has shown me, though, how bad we've been without him. And I think this has been overblown by most fans. That, like, oh, if we had Nate, we'd be a different team.
They would be in the sense that they'd rebound a little better.
Yeah.
They would rebound a little better.
And
I mean, don't forget, Sports Illustrated predicted Nate Austin to be the second leading rebounder in the nation before the season. So, like, he's a good rebounder.
And we wouldn't have had to play so many four-guard sets. And that's what I think's killed us. Teams have figured out ways to expose us in our four-guard sets. So, overall, yeah, I'd be happy if Nate can figure out a way to come back next year. But that's not the reason. He's not the reason this team's gone the way it has. Even if we had him, he doesn't do anything offensively for us. except he knows the plays and sets good screens. But, like, we have guys to do that. It's just been such a weird year for me where I think I'll tell my kids about how good these players were, but at the same time we had them.
They're going to say, well, wait a second. Were either of them conference player of the year that year?
Well, how well did they do? Like,
well,
you guys tear
did they
it
win?
Up?
They win conference championship?
Yeah.
No, but that just expresses like what you mean by how weird this season has gone. You know, it's they're two very good players, who, by the way, I'm not sure that their games are that compatible. And then beyond that, they don't have anybody who can space the floor for them whatsoever.
I don't. That's strong. I think Anson and Fisher can space the floor.
No, well, I mean space the floor, though, by being under the basket.
Draw someone under the basket. Yeah, they don't have anyone that draws a double team or even really gets one guy that's really fully paying attention.
All right, okay, your life depends on it. And you've got Karnowski for Gonzaga, and he's defending the post.
Yeah.
BYU has to score from the post, from the block, okay? Your life depends on this score. Okay. Who on this roster do you pick to try to score from the block?
Kyle Collinsworth.
I thought you were going to say Skylar Halford.
I would go with our point guard. I would go with our point guard to post him up. If I have to choose a big, I would go with, and this is crazy, but I would go with Isaac.
Like, that's probably the right choice, Isaac Nielsen.
Yeah, I would go with Isaac. I would not feel good about this, but that's
Luke Worthington, though, he's made a couple of like hook shots.
He's not doing it in a big moment with a bigger
with
guy.
With my life on the line?
With a bigger guy guarding him. Only chance is Isaac Nielsen, and he gets fouled, and he would hit the free throws.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. This is worse than like the prisoner's dilemma.
Oh, yeah.
But that has really got to be one of the strangest developments, though, is that they literally don't have anybody that kind of even like defensively, you don't even feel that great about what they're doing this year. Like I think Corbin Kafusi only has like 19 blocks.
I like his potential.
Oh, yeah. He's got potential. Sure. Right. But
I think when Mika comes back and those two are both on the court at the same time, it will be a fun.
Oh, why would you ever play them on the court at the same time?
Why not? Like, I think it'd be a fun set matchups wise. I don't think that's going to be the start. They'll both be in the starting five.
Right.
But I think Rose loves throwing out some weird units occasionally to see how the other team
My hits. Brain isn't working. Is there a guy coming back?
What does that mean?
Is there going to be a big man coming back from a mission?
No.
Are they going to get any better next year
when
it comes to eights?
That's going to be our big man.
Yeah, and if he does, I think he's kind of Keena Youngish, and I think that that's a good thing.
Yeah, and Nate Austin might be coming back, you know, like... So, yeah, anyway, do you think, is there any chance in heck that if we end this year on a win streak that we can get in as a 12 seed or make the sneak in?
Sure. So I think, and people are probably think I'm nuts, but yeah. So let's say they beat St. Mary's at home.
Okay.
They beat Pacific at home. Then they go out. Okay. And they make the rest of their trips, right? They beat everybody else.
They end the year with...
And they win in Gonzaga.
Okay. Then that's our only way.
They could get an at-large bid.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance. I think they'd be rewarded because the selection committee doesn't want to make Gonzaga a one seed again. So they'd be like, thanks, BYU, for getting us out of that hole.
Yeah.
We can now make them a two.
Gonzaga's good. They're better than they were last year. They're dang good.
Yeah. No, they're really good. They're not as good as they were 2 years ago when they earned the one seed, in my opinion.
Yeah.
When they had Olynyk and stuff.
Yeah. They don't have an Olynyk on their team.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but they have different guys that are really good now, though, obviously. The kid from Kentucky is really good. I can't remember his name right now. Anyway, the point is I do think that, like, it's going to be a challenge. And I think, I mean, Dave Rose himself has kind of talked in terms of they've got to win the conference tournament. Something that he's never done as a head coach, and something they've only done once since the turn of the century.
I have
they
no,
did it in 2000.
As a fan, I've just been beaten down so much in the conference tournament. I have no hope for us in the conference.
So let's talk about conference play, like conference tournament play, and why that. Why does it seem to be that conference tournament time, or just tournaments just in general, don't seem to go the way of the Cougars, except for there's one tournament that they're really good at, the National Invitational Tournament. Okay? Everywhere else, they've got a horrible losing record, but in the NIT, they're great. And you want to know why?
Why?
Here's something that makes me depressed, but BYU is a great NIT program and a horrible NCAA program. But they're right on that line, and usually they find themselves above the line, and so they find a way into the group of 68, and then they lose. But if they just are below the line and they don't get in, they tend to do really well at the NIT. They're the ultimate...
That doesn't explain to me our conference tournament woes. I think it's just, it's all mental to me. Like, for whatever reason, it's in BYU's players' heads or coaches' heads.
Yeah, I think there's some mental thing to it. It's about matchups, too, and then it's game after game after game. And at some point, you got to play a team. You know, there was a lot of years where BYU was the best team in the conference,
yeah,
and then they wouldn't win in the tournament. And it was because they wasn't a desperation. They were in. They didn't have to win the conference tournament.
This year, they have the desperation.
They have that desperation. That almost never happens for them.
Yep.
So I'm going to go on record right now and say that they're going to do it this year. And here's
whoa.
Here's the only reason why I think that they're going to do this. I think that they're going to just get hot shooting. How about that? This is the ultimate live and die by the three team.
Oh, they could, if they get hot, they could beat anybody.
Right.
Like, we have the shooters. If we have one of those games, we can beat anybody.
So there's going to be like this weird, they eke it out against like Santa Clara. And then they're going to play Gonzaga because I think they're on that side of the bracket probably in the second round. And they're just going to get freaking hot. They're going to lose up in Spokane. But in at the Orleans Arena, in front of the 500 fans there, I don't know. I really like their chances. I just they feel like to me a tournament team that has the ability to kind of ratchet it up. And I only say this because like, they've already played in Maui. They played and they were really tough. And yes, they had Nate Austin during that stretch. But like, I just thought that they were a tough out in that scenario. They went to overtime a couple times. They barely lost. By the way, nobody's beaten the crap out of this BYU team.
No,
their biggest loss this year is 7 points.
Yeah,
like
we can hang with anybody.
That's the part that's so weird about this team too. Is that with no big guys, we're still not getting killed.
Well, we have great guards. Like, we really have some stacked lineup guards-wise. But that's not enough. This year proves it.
You just got to be balanced. Just a little more balance. So, all right. So, this is what... is it ridiculous for me to say that they're going to win the conference tournament? I just kind of feel like desperation's there. You know, Tyler Hawes playing for his legacy and stuff. I like that. You know, Kyle Collinsworth is probably looking down the tunnel for next year, and he's wondering, you know, is this my better chance this year than next year? So there's going to be a lot of desperation, I feel like, with this group. And I just think that they're going to think nobody's ever taken it to us. We've been right there all year, you know, and I just think that now's the time for it to come together. And the other thing, though, that'll be critical for them is that they can't play in tight games. For whatever reason, they just don't win tight games.
Yeah.
They've got to, and this is one of the keys for them, is when they get a lead, if they can extend it to 10, they've really got to, that's when they've got to pounce. And that's hard because you had to pounce to get a 10-point lead. But once you get to 10, you need another gear to take that thing to 20. And if you do that, you'll probably win unless you're playing Stacey Davis.
Yeah, I think most of our woes this year have been defensive. Like, in the past, we would go, like, 10 minutes without scoring. Like, last year, it seemed like that. This year, we don't have that problem. It's that we give 55 points up and a half to Pepperdine, you know? Like,
they were bad at defense last year, too, but...
So, it's an intriguing team, but Let's move on to the biggest basketball news the last couple days.
Dave Rose.
Yes.
New contract.
I'm stoked on that. For sure.
They're letting him play through this the lone peak group. Expectations for the lone peak group are really high.
Yes. And I'm one of those fans that I'm already preparing myself to get, I'm already upping my Cougar Club membership so I can get better seats because I want to be in the Marriott Center to watch those guys.
That's a good point.
Play.
You just did a better job of selling me on Cougar Club. I had a Cougar Club membership. I haven't re-signed yet because
there's plenty of time for basketball still.
I'm a little disappointed with it, frankly. But I think that the that was a good selling point, Tosh. Tom Holmo should come give you a hug.
How stoked are you for the Lone Peak Club?
I think that they're going to be good, but I think that I'm a little nervous that people are already talking about them in terms of their – I kind of get the sense that there's a disappointment level if we don't see a Final Four with these guys. Do you agree? That's the sense that I've already got from these guys.
Got the Elite Eight, fans would be happy. Like, even if Sweet 16s, like, because – but they're going to need to do that. I think they Sweet 16 is the mark of happiness or not happy. These are top 50 in the nation players. BYU doesn't get those, and we got a couple. Like
Mika was a top 50. TJ Haas, top 50. Nick Emery, top 50.
Yeah. Then we got three of them at the same time.
Maybe Frank Jackson.
Frank, come Frank. Yes, that would be awesome.
If I mean, it's interesting. Is there a chance, though, that their skills won't be as good because they're not running with just the average dude in the RB anymore?
Because they have their own place to play? Yeah. No.
Did you ever get a chance to play with anybody? Like, were you ever in the RB playing and then...
No.
Whoa!
No. That happened with you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've heard of that happening, but that never with me.
I got dunked on by Gavin McGregor and Trent Plaisted.
Okay.
Back-to-back plays. Also, but Lee Kamard was on my team. They, like, split up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. That was a fun time. The other guy I played with once was Rashawn Brodus. You remember him?
He was good, yeah.
Yeah.
The three Marriott Center announcements, which one are you most excited about? So if those people haven't heard... So they're building an indoor practice facility that's an extension to the Marriott Center. They're putting cush seats in the entire lower bowl and putting a really nice, huge flat screens, multiple flat screens.
Six of them.
Yeah. Kind of like the Utah Jazz have, slightly smaller, but same sort of thing. Really changing the Jumbotron, if you will, to a lot fancier, more modern. What are those three you most excited about?
Well, I already have blue seats. Hey! That's a brag. And they're also then, I guess the annex, right? Adding the annex is probably the part I'm more excited about. I don't really care about Jumbotrons. It doesn't bother me. I don't know. Here's my problem with Jumbotrons.
It adds to the game experience.
It can add to the game experience, I guess. I don't like them, though, because it's just flat screens, and usually they don't display, like, how many fouls or timeouts are left or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I got really frustrated. I went and watched BYU play at Energy Solutions Arena, and we were there, and Collinsworth got a triple-double in that game, and, like, nobody in the crowd had a clue because they didn't have a scoreboard that showed stats.
Do you like how on the current system we got the stats?
Yes.
Like squared.
Yes, and I want that. That's okay. Something that's like, and I know they have the LED ribbon thing, but I don't know. I just think that that's an important element to improves my game experience, and I think when fans know that a guy is going off and now he's got 30 and now he's got, you know, I wrote that big long thing about Michael Brooks 51 points.
Yeah.
Like everybody in the arena knew that this guy had scored. Point after point after point, to the point that when he caught the ball at the end of the first overtime, there were people in the crowd, like, if you go back and watch the game, they're audibly, like, screaming, like, ah, no! Like, not him! And the point is I love that. I went and watched Tyler Haas in Logan this year. It was one of the best performances I've seen from a player. He ended with 35 points. And it was sweet knowing that each bucket, you know, now, oh, is it 27? You could see, like, the tension in the crowd rising. You know, oh, 31, oh, you know, like, just going. And so that's all I'm saying.
I bet they'll figure out a way to put the stats on there.
All right.
So,
do they do it at Jazz games?
Not on that screen, no.
Ugh.
It's the stats board. But I've been to, like, in University of Texas football, they've got a giant TV screen. But, like, sections of it are actually always displaying advertisements and stats. And so maybe they'll do something similar. I'm happy about the Kush seats, but from a random, like, trivia thing, I'm upset that it's lowering it to a less capacity than Energy Solutions.
Yeah, 19,000 now is what it's going to be at.
Because multiple times I've had people where I tell them, oh, yeah, the Marriott Center seats more than Energy Solutions. No, you're crazy. Like, there's no way. And then you pull out the phones. Sure enough, we were bigger. Not anymore. But that's dumb. Who cares?
I do. It's fun.
And if as long as the crowd's full, and I think this will help us fill, and it'll be a more enjoyable experience on those nice seats.
You know what I would change is instead of putting in blue seats where the students are, right? Because that's plan two. They're also doing that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Just put blue benches in.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And then just let the students cram it because they stand all game anyway.
That's true. And that is true. It's going to have less students by the court.
So just put in a bunch of blue benches in over on the student side. Stack those up and let the students stand and have
like
a good time.
You need to send a letter in quick before they start construction.
Why wouldn't they have thought about that anyway? Yeah. They've already made the arena a lot quieter. Like, I don't care what anybody says. Right? Like, there's people that have tried to say, like, at the Utah game this year, it's the loudest I've ever heard it in there. No. Right? It used to be so loud when all the students could span the entire length of the court rather than just behind the basket.
Yeah.
And then they were on benches. So what would happen is instead of being like five, there'd be like, you know, like now there's a chair and there's five seats and they make five people be there. Right? Like back when we were going, right? Like the bench, the number would say like 20. And there would be like 35 people crammed, right? And it was amazing. You know what I mean? And so it used to be a lot louder. Not just because I used to sit in the student section.
It's still a great atmosphere.
It's still
a good atmosphere,
but I think they've made it worse. And I think that this just makes it a little more worse. And
what I think will look better, though, for TV and flair is not having the yellow. The yellow just showed every empty seat. And why did we have yellow? The rumor was that it was cheaper to get yellow. I don't know if that's true, but that's the rumor I've heard. But blue would look a lot better.
I think it matched the carpets of most of Marriott's hotels back in the 70s.
Maybe so.
By the way, I got talking to my wife about if I ever got like my personal office space. Because she's obsessed with HGTV right now and stuff. And she was like, how would you want to design something? And I said, I want my office to look like the Marriott Center.
Nice.
But like the hallways and
oh, just concrete it out?
No, it's not concrete. It's like that white marble with like the bright flecks in the ground.
Okay.
But then on the walls it's got these old like blue tiles and then like the wood paneling.
See,
and
I'm thinking of I guess Energy Solutions is all concrete.
Yeah,
out.
Energy Solutions is ugly. And so is, by the way, the Marriott Center one's sort of ugly too.
But you like it.
It's my place. You know what I mean? I love it. So, all right. Well, that's it. Anything else you want to cover? I mean, do you think obviously St. Mary's tough game. Brad Waldo's a big problem. They have no answer for that.
Last time we played St. Mary's, our centers, we played three different centers that game. Combined, they had one rebound.
It's a problem.
That's what I'm watching this game.
That's like, the thing, Nate Austin. It's not like they'd be winning all these games if Nate Austin was on the team. But he would help with rebounding. That's the only metric that would be better if we had Nate Austin.
If we win tomorrow at St. Mary's coming here, if we win, it gives me a glimmer of hope again that we could be an at-large team. I'm intrigued with this game. What can we stop Waldo? Can we get rebounds? That being said, even as optimistic as I normally am, I've kind of given up a little bit. Like, I don't think we're going to win tomorrow.
Right. What about how many Australians will be watching the game tomorrow because they just love St. Mary's so much? Randy Bennett is just, like, figured out a way to – he is pirating streams online, but only to the country of Australia.
You want a number?
Yeah.
5,000.
Wow! It's quite a lot, actually. Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. Okay. Well, thank you for listening to CougarCast. Get in touch with us at CougarCast or CougarCast@gmail.com and read our stuff on VanquishTheFoe.com. And go Cougars.
Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!